From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
But there's 100 yards left. And Gunrunner with Gusto in the Stephen Foster Wins for Fun.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Kasakwe strikes the lead at the eighth pole. It's Kasakwe in front and opening up now. Chocolate Ride battles on Bondurant and Conquest Panthera down to the wire from off the pace. It's Kasakwe.
Here on the far outside is Good Samaritan in his dirt debut, and he's charging in the center of the track. He's gone by them all. Good Samaritan has taken the lead, and he's pulling away. Good Samaritan has won the Jim Dandy.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, our producer, Lee Delapina, all with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Just 47 days, 15 hours, and 58 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Del Mar in sunny Southern California. Those come your way November 3rd and 4th, and we'll be there as your exclusive radio home for the 11th consecutive year. That's right, the Breeders' Cup runs here exclusively on HRN 11 years in a row, and we are proud to be able to say that and happy to bring you that coverage coming up later this year. Speaking of Breeders' Cup, several Breeders' Cup win in your in races on the docket for this afternoon. Some of those taking place here in the Bluegrass at Churchill Downs, others north of the border at Woodbine. It is a tremendous afternoon of racing, and JT, we can't wait to talk about it here this morning for the next 2 hours.
Yeah, it's a great day. Lots of fantastic races all over. Laurel Park has a tremendous card today.
Francis Dash.
Looking forward to that. Lots of stakes races over there. You talked about Woodbine and Churchill. Excellent cards there, and a very nice race at Belmont Park today. Looking forward to it. All over the country, it's going to be good.
Yeah, and the race at Laurel, not a win in your end, but you have to think, considering how many good horses we're going to see in that ExpressBet.com DeFrancis Dash, that you're going to have a chance for somebody, maybe a couple of horses, to come out of that race and run in a race like the Breeders' Cup Sprint.
Yeah, absolutely. Whitmore.
Yep.
Making his comeback today after having a little foot issue after his last race, pawing his way off the truck onto the plane. Horses do that sometimes, and it's really frustrating
for
trainers. Yeah, it was actually on the plane, I believe. He was pawing the ground. You know, the not the ground. They weren't on the ground. They were in the air, right? The floor. with his foot.
Yeah, those are some long legs.
And you know, the horses do that out of habit or nervousness or something. I don't know why they do it. But they do it a lot, and when you have a horse like that at the barn that likes to paw like that, you usually put a rubber mat in front of their stall, so that they're protected a little bit. And usually the floors of the planes are protected as well. But he just, I guess, really pawed a lot, and it caused a little bruising, soreness in his foot. So they had to back off him, which was probably, in retrospect, one of the best things that could have happened to him. He got a little rest. He'd run third, didn't win his usual 5 wins in a row, and then he ran third. So, you know, maybe he was upset about not winning. And let me at him.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, so he got a little 3 months vacay, and he's been training lights out. So interesting to see him come back. He's a very fine horse.
Well, today at Churchill, they will have the Iroquois Stakes, which is a win in your in for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Division. They'll also run the Pocahontas, a win in your in for the Juvenile Fillies. The Rico Woodbine Mile takes place at Woodbine. That's, of course, a grade one and a winning your end for the Breeders' Cup Mile Division. Then tomorrow, Woodbine has two more winning your ends, the Natama for the Juvenile Fillies Turf and the Summer Stakes for the Juvenile Turf. So it's, as we said, a huge, huge weekend, and we're going to talk about it over the course of the next 2 hours. We'll tell you more about our guests who are coming up, but Jude, one of the things that took place, and we talked about it in depth on this program last week when we had the chance to talk to many consigners who would be selling horses at the Keeneland September yearling sale, that Keeneland sale has been absolutely unbelievably strong over the first 4 days. And it's one of those things where you say, okay, if you're a buyer, that's not necessarily a great thing because it's difficult to buy horses in your price range a lot of times when the market is so strong. If you're a seller, you love it because these horses are bringing a lot of money. And it's a very positive sign for our industry when the sales scene is going well.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, there's a lot of nice horses in the catalogs. We, of course, looked at book one and book two and knew right away that there was going to be some big action. But it seems like horses were bringing even a little more than a lot of the consigners anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of has a trickle-down effect. So now, after yesterday's break, we start in book three today. And, you know, the people that didn't get horses in book one and two, a lot of people couldn't buy horses in book one, and that's traditional. But book two was three solid days of beautiful horses. And then, you know, book three is going to be great. And so the prices are going to increase on each one of those books. And I was teasing one person who will remain nameless about looking for horses, and I said, "Well, you'll probably be here, you know, in book seven with the Amish guys looking for horses to pull their plows." But you know, it's just one of those things where it just trickles down book to book to book, and where it stops, we'll see. I mean, maybe sometime mid next week, it'll slow down.
We were still seeing $1 million horses on Thursday,
right?
Which is always a good sign when you have that fourth session. And Keeneland revamped things a little bit this year, came out with a new format. They're attributing a lot of the success to that new format. But you know, look, you're going to have these prices early in the sale every single year. But this was exceptional this year.
Well, Keeneland has a knack for attributing things that are good to them.
Sure.
And
I told you it was going to work.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of, I don't want to say complaints, but competitive arguments against the format. A lot of people are not in favor of it. I don't know that it makes any difference.
You're never going to please everybody.
No, personally to me, I think they should put all the horses in a shaker and make people stay here for 13 days. That's what I think. I think they shouldn't like have a select or what. I think everybody should have to do their own work. But I'm more at this sale. I'm much more of a purchaser than I am a seller. Although we've sold lots of horses at Keeneland over the years, but most of the time I'm looking for horses for clients to buy. So I think it would be a lot of fun, and we do the work. You know, we go out there and look at all the horses, and so it would be a lot of fun to have $1 million horse on the last day of the sale.
That would be pretty cool. I know a lot of the consigners would enjoy selling $1 million horse on the last day too, no doubt about it. We're about 7 minutes away from our first talk segment of the morning. That's going to be with Stuart Morris, who is one of the consigners who's already had some success out there at Keeneland in the first week of the sale. Last week, we talked to consigners about the horses they were selling. This week, we're going to talk to Stuart and get his thoughts about the strength of the market and where he sees the yearling market going. He'll be selling at major sales all over the country. And oh, by the way, one of his sales graduates, Kelly's Humor, is going to the post today in the Pocahontas Stakes, trying to punch her ticket to the Juvenile Fillies out at Del Mar. So lots of things to talk about with Stuart coming up around 8:15 Eastern. Dale Romans is on the cusp of history at Churchill Downs. He is just 3 wins away from eclipsing Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott as Churchill's all-time leading trainer. Think about that. It would be outstanding if he could do it today. He has 9 horses entered on this Saturday program. He got blanked yesterday on opening day, so he's hoping for better today. And there's a good chance we could see Dale by the end of this afternoon, by the end of the racing card, as Churchill's all-time leading trainer.
Well, you know, Dale's a great guy, and he's a local boy, and it's great that he has this chance. I mean, what a tremendous honor that is to be the winningest trainer in Churchill Downs history. So who's he got to beat?
Who's he have to beat?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Who holds the record now?
Were you not listening just a few minutes ago?
I must have missed it.
What did I say? What did I say?
I don't know. You said Dale Romans was 3 away from
Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott.
Really?
the native of Mobridge, South Dakota.
That would have been one of the last guys on the list.
Yes.
That's why
Mobridge,
maybe
South
I didn't
Dakota.
Believe it when you said it.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't. That's amazing.
Yep. Yeah, Bill Mott currently...
It's not like it's a dead guy.
Oh, no.
No.
No, very
so,
much alive.
So he could become the winningest trainer, but it might not mean anything if Bill Mott comes in
Bill
and wins 20
more. Bill
could come
right back, yeah, but at least for the moment, he would be the leading trainer all time. Bill Mott has 701 victories at Churchill Downs. Dale sitting at 699 right now.
Uh-huh.
So two to tie, three to win.
Right.
Three to pass him. Yeah. Be cool. Like you said, Dale's a local guy from Louisville. Cut his teeth on racing at Churchill. His dad, longtime trainer. We're going to visit with Dale, and we're going to talk to him about this milestone, if he can pull it off. We'll talk to him about that coming up right around 8:30, yeah, maybe 8:35 Eastern, right in that ballpark. So stay tuned for that interview. Woodbine, big day. We told you about that. Three winning year in races this weekend, including this afternoon's Grade 1 Rico Woodbine Mile. John Siskos, the Director of Communications at Woodbine, is going to be with us at 9 o'clock Eastern to talk about that big day and that big weekend. Again, Pocahontas and Iroquois at Churchill. We'll visit with Darren Rogers from Churchill Downs at 9:25 Eastern. And then Mike Nyman from Gulfstream will be with us at the end of the show, right around 9:40 Eastern time. And Hurricane Irma, as we know, devastated so many people in Florida over the course of the past week. And Mike Nyman is a Floridian. He lives not far from Gulfstream Park. Gulfstream is going to reopen today. Mike will be there. Back there is the director of marketing doing his job. But so many people just trying to get back to normalcy in Florida now. And Gulfstream finally going to do that this afternoon.
Yeah, it's been a rough go for a lot of people. And, you know, a lot of friends of ours that live in Florida are still not back in their homes. They don't have power. It's just a horrible situation for so many people. So it's going to be interesting to see how Gulfstream weathered the storm and what Mike has to say.
Yeah, and how they handled everything. Many of the horses, almost all the horses, I think, evacuated, many going to Palm Meadows and other venues. People opened their doors. I even saw one story where one lady had a couple of horses in her house just trying to take care of them. She had straw and everything laid out and all their feed. And I'm not sure if that was race horses or just horses from a farm that was going to be affected in South Florida, but I did see the story on television. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's always nice. There was a lady that had a farm here in Kentucky that built a stall for her horse in the kitchen.
Come on.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it was great. And they had the stall door. He'd peer over into the kitchen and watch her cook dinner. I don't know. It's an interesting concept.
Yeah. Pretty cool stuff. All right, poll question of the day. You can weigh in on our website, on our Twitter feed, at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And here it is. Considering the strength of the sales, and we saw this at Saratoga with the Fasig Tipton sale and now with the Keeneland September sale, can you see yourself as a racehorse owner one day? That's the poll question. Can you see yourself as a racehorse owner one day? We're going to give you four choices. The first one, absolutely. The second one, well, maybe. Yeah, maybe. And then the third one, no way. No way I'm going to own a racehorse. And the fourth one, I'm already an owner. So there you go. Those are the four choices. Can you see yourself as a racehorse owner one day? And I can tell you, as somebody who has owned a little piece of several horses, it is one of the greatest thrills you will ever get when your horse crosses the finish line first, no matter what percentage you own. So not trying to influence the conversation there, but go ahead and weigh in at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and we'll get to those responses as we move throughout the show. Stuart Morris kicks it off next right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Want to enjoy an exciting night of horse racing overlooking beautiful downtown Lexington? Watch as Kentucky's top standardbreds compete in the Kentucky Sire Stakes held at the historic Red Mile. The Kentucky Sire Stakes is a month-long culmination of Kentucky's leading 2- and 3-year-olds competing at the Red Mile to be crowned Kentucky's best trotter and pacer. Sponsored by the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Kentucky Sire Stakes Finals, Sunday, September 17th, First Post, 7 p.m. For more information, visit www.khrc.ky.gov.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind, absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Into Mischief is North America's emerging top sire, the world's leading 2-year-old sire in 2016, and America's leading 3-year-old sire in 2017, with his biggest and best crop still to come. Into Mischief, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's Mockstuff still with the lead, but Upset Brewing is the danger to the outside, and she takes the lead and comes roaring off the turn in the debutante. Upset Brewing opening up from Mox Tough. Link for the back. It's Wacky Patriot down the center of the track. Kelly Zoomer not today for Sunny Skies as they're in the deep stretch outside the 16th pole. It's Upset Brewing. Here's Kelly Zoomer lunging to the outside. It's going to get close to the debutante. Upset Brewing. Kelly Zoomer got it right on the wire. Kelly Zoomer and Sean Bridgerman gets up in the final yards. Upset Brewing was second in 124-3.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Don't forget, if you are looking to have lunch while you're selling horses at Keeneland, all you have to do is give Jimmy Johns a call. Their Palomar location is the place to call, and they will deliver right to your barn, and they will do it freaky fast. Well, speaking of freaky fast, Kelly's Humor appears to be freaky fast to begin her career, as she was impressive in winning that Del Mar debutante, and she is undefeated and has been very, very good. She runs this afternoon in the Grade 2 Pocahontas at Churchill Downs, and she'll see if she can run her record to 3-for-3. Sean Bridgemahan in the irons for Brad Cox. Jude, she breaks from post 12, and she has been ultra impressive.
Yeah, she really has. It was the Ellis Park debutante, not the Del Mar debutante.
Okay. Why do I say that all the time?
Well, because
I did that when I was talking to somebody the other
day. It's a grade one, and I'm sure Stuart would have been dancing in the streets.
He would have loved it. Yeah, Kelly's Humor coming out of the Stuart Morris consignments, of course.
Nothing wrong with the Ellis Park debutante. And the impressive thing to me was when she broke her maiden, she went wire to wire, and then she ran 7/8 and came from way out of it with a fantastic closing charge. She was 4.5 lengths back at the 8th pole and won the race. It was a tremendous performance. So, hats off to her. She's a good filly.
Stuart, maybe I should just put the cart before the horse and say juvenile fillies winner, Kelly's Humor. What do you think of that?
I think it's a great idea. From your lips to God's ears, my man.
Hey, look, she has been great. You have been great. This Keeneland sale has been great. Start by talking a little bit about what we've seen over the first 4 days of the sale. The prices appear to be extremely strong.
I think what we're seeing, in my opinion, and I've only sold a couple horses, but I've been obviously watching the market very closely, is a continuation of the basically the previous 8 months of the year from the two-year-old markets into the yearling sales, which is the horses that are deemed to be the elite and the top of the pile of the crop or in the marketplace they're in are being well paid for. And the horses that are in the top 1% of that, those said marketplaces are being paid double, triple premium plus for. What I've been impressed with all the way through, though, especially in the summer and then on through the first parts of the Keeneland, has been what I consider to be a good depth of the marketplace. It seems to be there's plenty of money and plenty of active buyers even out there now for 50 and 80 and $100,000 horses all the way up to the horses for $1 million. So when you see that much strength and support for horses and that much activity at all price levels, that I think bodes very well for the rest of the year and coming years for us as things seem to be recovering and coming back for the commercial marketplace for us.
There's a lot of people at this sale. I think there's more people than I've ever seen at a Keeneland sale. Would you agree with that?
I would. I think that there's what I'm seeing, Jude, is a diversification of buyer earlier than typical, in my opinion. There's folks in town, looking for horses to resell, looking for horses for regional markets, and also the folks at the top looking for everything, and then everybody in between. But there's a very big crowd here now, and there has been. And fortunately, as we've shifted over from book one and two to book three, to what a lot of us consider to be the nitty-gritty and the guts of the sale, there have been even more cars arriving, more people here, more trailers are arriving to haul horses home for folks. We were very active in the barn yesterday. We didn't start showing until around 10 o'clock, and I think I averaged about 87 or 89 shows yesterday for my four horses, which I don't think was unique to me. I think everybody around us was just absolutely slammed with interested buyers at the market at our barns all day yesterday, and it was a very positive feel in the shed row.
Stuart, I mentioned earlier that when the yearling sales are strong, it benefits the entire industry. Why is that?
Well, it drives stud fees. It drives purchases of the factories that make the yearlings, the broodmares. It drives the weanling pinhook market. It may force other buyers to go into the two-year-old market when they traditionally may not have. I think they're a pretty good barometer for the health of the industry. Also, I think it's an intuitive indicator of general interest in the business to buy racehorses and own racehorses. A lot of people are very comfortable buying horses in this age of their life. Some folks are a little more, uncomfortable with the two-year-old marketplace, just like anybody else. And there's other folks that are very comfortable in the two-year-old marketplace. But I think the main thing with the yearling market when it's this strong, it's an overall indicator of the health of our industry due to the demand of buyers that we have in there wanting to buy horses.
Talking with Stuart Morris here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can find him in Barn 26 at Keeneland. Stop by and say hello and tell him that you heard him right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Stuart, let's talk about the success you had earlier this week. The third session, you brought a colt by Candy Ride into the ring. It was hip 533, big price at $525,000. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. That was a very exciting day for us at the barn. In my 3 years since I've started, he's a highest priced horse we've consigned, hopefully not the last, obviously, and hopefully we're going to do better going forward in time. But it was even more special for me. I sold him on behalf of Dr. Jerry Belinsky of Waldorf Farm in New York, and one of his clients, one of his partners. Jerry's been a supporter of mine for the last 20 years, and I can remember doing work for him when he stood a horse called Cormorant Mighty McGee in New York 20 years ago when I was with my father. And I picked that mare out for him with his colt in utero, and then was able to help with his management and development and bringing him to the marketplace and for a successful result for my client. And that's a big thing that makes me successful, just like any other trainer or anyone else in this industry. Having good owners behind you and good support with clientele base is critical for our success. And just like anybody else in this business, whether you're a trainer or an agent buying horses or a person raising horses on your farm, you're only as successful as the best horse you have. And having great folks that I work for make my life easier and help us all be successful.
You've been on a little bit of a mini roll the last year or so. I mean, things are really headed in the right direction. Where do you see your business going in the next year, let's say?
Well, you know, I'd like to say that we just keep doing what we're doing. Just kind of keep everything going. I mean, I don't have a motivation or a goal to sell 300 yearlings in a year and a bunch of brood mares and all those things. I enjoy the folks I work for. We're doing a lot of good right now and have a lot of success. I'm certainly willing and able, looking for any new clientele and anybody else that wants to get involved with our program. But I've been successful with the model of working very hard to bring the right horses to market in kind of smaller boutique consignments. And in contrast, that I do have 28 in Maryland and probably October and 45 in Ocala. But you're trying to make sure that we work really hard to put all of our clients' horses first and their priority and their success first. And if that means we have to take a horse somewhere out of the state of Kentucky to sell, then that's where we go. And mainly just continue the success we've had via, you know, working hard to read the condition book, per se, and have our horses in position to be successful and maximize returns and money for our clients and make them money. And then hopefully they go on to be successful like Kelly Seymour at the racetrack and be enjoyable horses for the folks we sell them to as well.
Yeah, we mentioned Kelly's Humor, and Stuart, we would be remiss if we didn't mention some of the other top graduates that, and Jude mentions the mini role that you're on, some of the other graduates that have come out of your consignments that are also competing and winning stakes races this year, and that includes He Hate Me, who won the Tremont, Pacific Gal, who took Monmouth Sorority Stakes. She won that by 3 1/4 lengths, and then in just, I believe, your first or second year of selling, you ended up selling Malagasy, who was on the Kentucky Derby trail after winning the Grade 2 Rebel at Oaklawn. So, again, well done, my friend, and, you know, just absolutely tremendous to see all that success.
Thank you very much. It's been very, very exciting, and again, it goes back to the folks I sell for, and then fortunate enough to have the horses in good hands, in good hands when they leave us to go on and be successful in their careers as well, and it's been a blast. I mean, I've been a good friend of Brad Cox's for a long, long time. In fact, through a friend of ours, Max Hodge at Fasig, when Brad first got started in his career, a bunch of us got together, scraped together some cash, and 10 or 15 of us, and we gave him some money, and we claimed a little filly and had some fun with her. So I've known Brad for a long time, and I've always had a lot of respect for him and the job he does. So it's even more rewarding for me when a friend is training the horse. And the folks that own that mare, Ike and Don Thrasher, good people that I've sold horses for too for a while, and they do things the right way, and you know, I'm really happy for them, and it's always fun for me when the good guys win.
Stuart, only about a minute left before we have to get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, but our poll question on Twitter and Facebook today is, can you see yourself as a racehorse owner one day? And we gave people four choices: absolutely, maybe, no way, and I'm already an owner. When somebody comes to talk to you, what advice do you give them about owning racehorses?
First of all, make sure you have some disposable income. Beyond that, I advise them to go find folks that they feel a lot of trust and faith in and have fun. I encourage people to either bring partners in for themselves or go on their own, but make sure they're enjoying everything. Have trainers and advisors and veterinarians and everybody involved in their team that help them be successful. Be folks they enjoy having time with and enjoy the experience. I mean, for me, the most important thing about our game is the majesty of the animal and enjoying it and having fun. And I come across folks every once in a while that are having an immense amount of success and not enjoying it because they don't really have fun with the folks they're partners with or they're working with in the industry. So I always encourage folks, first of all, to have a very high comfort level with the people that were helping you in the industry via your advisors, trainers, et cetera, and enjoy their company and then have fun, first of all. And then hopefully from there, the success will come and you win a lot of trophies and get some purse money in as well.
Stuart Morris, like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Stuart, appreciate the time. We'll encourage everybody to stop by and say hello to you in Barn 26 out there at Keeneland, and continued success, my friend.
Thank you very much. Y'all have a great day and a good weekend.
All right, Stuart Morris here on HRRN. It is indeed time for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. When we come back, trainer Dale Romans talks about trying to become Churchill's all-time leading trainer. He could do it this afternoon. That interview is next right here on HRN.
When experts gather to discuss the greatest American racehorse of all time, the list includes three that invariably rise to the top of the conversation: Man of War, Citation, and Secretariat. The relative merits of these three superstars may well be undeterminable in actual fact, but Citation's three-year-old campaign was perhaps the singularly greatest individual year ever enjoyed by a racing thoroughbred. Citation's two-year-old record was 8 wins in 9 starts, the only blemish on an otherwise perfect slate. A defeat at the hands of his Calumet stable may bewitch when that outstanding filly defeated him in the Washington Park Futurity. Citation was named the two-year-old of the year and ranked alongside Bewitch at the top of the experimental free handicap. At the end of his three-year-old campaign, Citation's weight evaluation was 15 pounds greater than that of his nearest rival. Most three-year-olds campaigning exclusively against their own age group until the second half of the year. Not so Citation. He opened his sophomore season on the track with 2 wins against older horses. He followed that success with 2 wins against his peers before suffering a defeat in a 6-furlong prep race at Havre de Grace in Maryland. That race was to Saggy, sire of the 1968 Kentucky Derby winner, Carryback. After that, Citation racked up 15 consecutive victories. Included in that skein were an easy sweep of the Triple Crown races, so easy that it was almost anticlimactic. In the 1948 Derby, Citation was such a prohibitive favorite that Colonel Matt Wynn eliminated place in show wagering in that event. Citation won the Derby by 3.5, the Preakness by 5.5, and the Belmont by 8 open lengths. After totally demolishing and completely demoralizing all the three-year-olds, he went on to become against older horses and won the Stars and Stripes at Washington Park in track record time. Later in the fall, he proved his stamina by sailing home to a 7-length win in the Jockey Club Gold Cup over a distance of 2 miles at Belmont Park. By the end of October, there was not a single horse willing to challenge him in the winner-take-all Pimlico Invitational. That outing turned out to be nothing more than an exhibition for public benefit, a walkover in racing parlance. By the end of 1948, Citation had won 19 of 21 races at 9 different tracks at distances from 6 furlongs to 2 miles. He had been ridden by 3 different jockeys and had won or on tracks listed as fast, good, muddy, heavy, and sloppy. He was not only three-year-old colt of the year, but also horse of the year, and on top of that, handicap horse of the year. Unfortunately, the rest of Citation's story is dotted with cases of injury and frustration. He was off the racetrack for an entire year because of various ailments. He came back to race at the age of 5 when he won an allowance race in January at Santa Anita. In his next 8 starts, he finished 2nd 7 times with only 1 win. Incredibly, in 6 straight races, he was defeated in track record time. 5 of those losses were in world record time. Plus, he was invariably giving way to the opposition, which makes that record doubly significant. Citation was nearly $100,000 short of becoming race's very first millionaire at the age of 6, so after a 10-month layoff, he did come back. He began that campaign slowly, but finally scored in the Argonaut Handicap, and then chalked up a 2nd tough win in the American Handicap. Then on July 14, 1951, in his last race, he nailed down the $100,000 first prize in the Hollywood Gold Cup to attain the coveted $1 million earnings mark his owners had doggedly pursued for 3 years. In 45 career starts, Citation had 32 wins and was in the money 44 times. But that three-year-old campaign goes unmatched to this very day. Neither Man of War nor Secretariat campaigned at the age of Citation's later efforts, so we will never know. But Citation was indeed one of the very best horses that I personally have ever seen.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store. And that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 23rd for the 9th annual Race for the Ribbon. Another stellar card in store. Seven stakes races worth over $600,000 and headlined by the Grade 3 $300,000 Charlestown Oaks. And proceeds from the evening will go towards the fight against breast cancer. The action kicks off with a special first post time of 5 p.m. Eastern. It's the Race for the Ribbon and the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Stuart Morris possesses 30 years of experience in the thoroughbred business and started consigning horses on his own just 2 years ago. Already, one of his sales graduates, Malagasy, found himself on the Kentucky Derby Trail and now has 3 2-year-old stakes winners in 2017. Tremont winner He Hate Me, undefeated Kelly's Humor, winner of the Ellis Park Debutante, and Pacific Gal, who won Monmouth's Sorority Stakes. Those three coming from just 65 yearlings sold by Stuart Morris last year. Visit the Stuart Morris consignments at upcoming sales to find your next winner.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Power.
Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Passion.
It was creator and destined right on the wire, and Irad Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
It is Tepret and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainesway Stallion Tappet, North America's leading sire in 2014, 2015, and 2016. Tappet has sired 23 Grade 1 winners, 20 yearlings to bring $1 million or more at auction, and earners of more than $116 million on the racetrack. Tappet's newest Grade 1 winner, Dream Dancing, stormed home to take the Del Mar Oaks. Other Grade 1 winners include Frosted and Ring Weekend, Philly's Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, and Time in Motion, and the winners of three of the past four Belmont Stakes, Tonalist, Creator, and Tappet. Look for Tappet yearlings at the upcoming sales. Tappet, standing at Gainesway.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Top of the stretch now. Recruiting Ready comes off the turn and takes lead away. But on the outside, Not This Time is rallying and is rallying to the lead. It's Not This Time in front by three. Not This Time by four. Recruiting Ready left behind in second, farther back, looking at Lee and Honor Thy Father, but with a 16th to go, Not This Time, finishing full of run in the Iroquois, wins by six. It was tight for a second, maybe looking at Lee up over Recruiting Ready. That's tight, though. Honor Thy Father was fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN, Baron and Pontiff, that is Penna and Feld, with you. Here in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, huge afternoon of racing, including the Pocahontas and the Iroquois, both winning your ends, taking place at Churchill Downs this afternoon. That call that you just heard from Travis Stone was Not This Time winning last year's renewal, and Not This Time providing Dale Romans with yet another victory in that race. He won it, of course, back in 2013 with Claiborne, and Dale has had an awful lot of success in that race and at Churchill Downs, which is why he's in the position that he is now. He is just two wins behind Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott and trying to equal him as Churchill Downs' all-time leading trainer. He has nine horses entered for this afternoon, so there's a good chance that by the end of the day, we could be talking about Dale Romans, a native of Louisville, as Churchill's all-time leading trainer, and he is with us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Dale, welcome, my friend.
Hey, thank you, buddy. Thank you.
So
that put a lot of pressure on me.
Hey, you're not going to be – all right, look, you got blanked on opening day yesterday. You're not going to be one of those guys that gets close to a milestone and then goes like 0 for 50, are you?
Not unless you just jinxed me.
Yeah, all he asked for is a three-winner day today. Huh? That, right. that's a you know, commonplace occurrence, right?
Right, exactly. It's easy to walk over and win three at Churchill Downs. Yeah. And they're all in allowance, or ain't made in allowance, or stakes today.
He's obviously never trained horses.
Come on.
No, he hasn't.
Three out of nine. That's like one out of every three. Dale, if anybody can do it, it's Dale Romans.
Well, it's not
a few years ago, I could have cut a few of these claimers in half and gotten right over this milestone, but it's not like that anymore.
Yeah. Well, I asked earlier, I said, who's he trying to beat? And he said, Bill Mott. I said, well, I was hoping it was like a dead guy or something. Now you got
to – Right. No, you got to keep going head-to-head with him. I ask him, please just give me for one day, don't run any horses this week, and I'll get it done, and you can have it back. But I don't think he's working with me very well.
Not a team player.
When you hear
he's all about himself.
When you hear – look, you're a native of Louisville. When you hear Dale Romans – all-time leading trainer at Churchill Downs. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear those words?
Unbelievable. I mean, in all seriousness, it's this is a legendary racetrack as they build themselves, home of the Kentucky Derby. And to think maybe you've stood in the winner's circle more times than anybody in the 140-something-year history of the place, it's pretty overwhelming.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's got to be one of the best milestones anybody could ever achieve, I would think.
Well, yeah, especially, you know, from being from here, coming here my entire life. I mean, this was my playground growing up, and it still is.
What do you think your dad would say if he were here?
I don't know. That's a good question. He'd be very proud, but he'd be a little overwhelmed with it, I think. I remember the first – you know, he died young. He was only 59 years old. And he was in the hospital when I won my first trainer's title. And I remember going in the hospital room with Lucas and I were head and head, and he called me back in. He said, now don't let him pass you. That'd be a big, big deal for a Roman Speed leading trainer at Churchill Downs. That just seems like yesterday. And Wayne Lucas was kind enough to let me tie him that year, so my father got to see me have one title at Churchill.
What are some of those Churchill moments, when you think back on your career, some of those moments you've had at Churchill that are always going to stand out to you?
There's all kinds of big ones. I mean, first walkover, even though it's a loss in the Kentucky Derby, is a big one. But I pretty easily can tell you the biggest moment for me at Churchill Downs so far was Shackelford's last race. And, I don't hardly hear the announcers, but it was a night race. He had fallen out of the gate at the Breeders' Cup, was the favorite. I don't think there's any way he could get beat. He stumbles. He spots him 10 lengths. Doesn't run any good. Talk him into letting him run back one more time. I didn't want him to retire on such a bad effort. They let us run him back. There were 30,000 people here at night racing. And the announcer calling when he hit the half-mile post, Shackelford looking at the last half-mile of his career. It makes the hair stand up on my neck thinking about it today. That crowd stood up and started cheering him from the time the announcer called him at the half-mile pole till he walked out of the winner's circle.
Yeah, and he gave you another thrill when he turned for home in the Kentucky Derby and he's in front.
That was pretty thrilling. I tell everybody I know what it feels like to think you're going to win a Kentucky Derby.
Pretty special things.
Yeah.
Well, you're kind of loaded for bear this year for the Kentucky Derby. You got a really nice string of two-year-olds.
Yeah, we got a good crop of them, a good bunch, and some more that haven't even started yet that I think are good, rugged, strong colts that could be that kind. And, you know, there's a lot of strides in between today and the first points race for the Derby till we get there first Saturday in May, but I like our position.
You know, people will look and they'll see Dale Romans at the top of the standings quite often at different racetracks around the country, and they'll see your name associated with big, graded stakes winners, Dale, but you do it year in and year out. What's the key for any trainer to maintain this type of success and do it year in and year out?
You know, it's just consistent. Get out and do the same thing every day. Well, for me, it's been stay consistently in the same places. You know, I've gone to Florida in the winter, New York in the summer, Churchill spring and fall my entire career. You know, and eventually just kind of become enrooted in that cycle and just keep grinding and don't let the highs be too high or the lows be too low.
When a trainer goes through a slump, how do you maintain the faith and the belief in yourself to keep on going?
You know, we're all a little bit arrogant, or we couldn't, or we wouldn't be here doing this. So, you know, when you're losing 80 to 85% of the time and you're considered successful, you've got to you got to be a little bit arrogant about things. So I haven't met a trader yet that wasn't in a slump, or it wasn't the rider's fault or something like that. So we can usually come out of it.
Yeah, a lot of times it happens to be the horses that you're training at the time, too. That sometimes they're just not good enough to compete wherever it is you're racing.
Where you get into a jackpot is when you get expensive yearlings that cage off in for the tags and place them where they can win. If you can do that, then you can get out of slump pretty easy.
Well, Hollywood Star is your horse today in the Iroquois, Dale, and 5-2 on the morning line. He broke his maiden impressively at Churchill, came back with that big runner-up performance in the Saratoga Special on August 13th. Tell us a little bit about Hollywood Star.
I love this horse. I mean, he was my pick of the best horse at the sale last year, and we paid a lot of money for him. He's got pedigree, he's got class, he's got the look about him, and I'm just anxious to get him going around two turns. We said all along that we thought that would be when you'd see his true talent. And hopefully, I don't get really nervous anymore, but I get excited. I'm excited to see him, how he does going around two turns.
Yeah, that's a big deal. It's a little stepping stone to overcome before you get on the Derby trail. And if he could win today, that would propel him quite a bit. It was interesting to me. Alvarado, I think, had his choice of 10 City or your horse, and he stuck with yours. That's a good sign.
Yeah, we had his choice last race when he was right when it was 10 City and Zack Attack. Of course, he chose right at Ellis Park, and you know, we've got three horses that are already very accomplished 2-year-olds and Zack Attack and Free Drop Billy and the colt today, and we can't tell which one's the best. Robbie's ridden them all, their every race of their life so far. You know, Zack ran big at Ellis, and this horse, I think, it's just as good.
Dale, I mentioned those 9 entrants on today's program. When you think about the horses that can bring you closer to that record mark, who are some of the other horses we should keep an eye on?
Well, I think we have a huge shot in the first race with Tiz Mischief. I think that he's one of these colts that if he wins today, you know, we could be talking about him for Derby Dreams down the road. He's a solid, good colt. I think he came out of a key race at Ellis Sprinting, and he's stretching out for the first time. I would say of all the rest of them, besides Hollywood, he'd be the best shot of the day.
All right, well, we'll see if Dale Romans can earn yet another win at Churchill Downs. He's done it almost as many times as anybody in history, and hoping by the end of the day, or at least over the next couple of days, to be the all-time leading trainer. Dale, as always, man, we appreciate the time, and like all of our guests, you're going to get a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll get that to you, and hopefully we'll be sending it to Churchill's all-time leading trainer.
Thank you, fellas. Always good talking to you.
All right. Good luck, my friend. Wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, I mean, it's so cool.
Yeah. Perfect ending.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even an ending for him, but a perfect way to end that script.
Well, you're racking up the Dale Romans points this morning, aren't you? What an ending.
You know what I'm saying? A perfect end to that story is where I'm going with this.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to kill off Bill Mott, and you're ending Dale Romans' life. It's a nightmare over here. But I mean, you know, Dale, he's such a great guy, and he you know, loves the sport. He loves playing the game. He loves Churchill Downs. So I think, you know, it would just be awesome for him to achieve that goal. And even if it is only for, you know, a temporary role till Bill Mott wins a few more races, you know. But that'll be kind of a cool story moving ahead, watching those guys go head and head, see how seriously they take it.
Yeah.
Something tells me Mott doesn't really care about it as much as Dale does, but I think...
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, you would think that would be logic, right? Because Dale's obviously a native of Louisville and somebody who grew up around Churchill Downs, but I think Bill Mott would like to own that title too.
Well, I think everybody would. Anybody that trains horses would like to have that distinction. I mean, that's an amazing, bunch of horsemen that have competed there over the years in long, long history. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right. Well, our poll question of the day at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook is, can you see yourself as a racehorse owner one day? And there's four choices. You can vote absolutely, maybe, no way, and I'm already an owner. Go there now. We will update you on the results of that poll question when we come back in our next segment. Plus, we're going to tell you about the return of the HRN Bloom Racing Horse, Budokan. That's coming up next right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Phillip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillips continues his fast start, seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amiz Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Dreyfong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dreyfong's the leader. Dreyfong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Amalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Arguably North America's hottest first crop weanling sire in 2016, Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is set to once again ignite the marketplace with his first crop yearlings this sales season. A brilliantly talented son of leading sire Pioneer of the Nile, Cairo Prince is passing on the extraordinary good looks that made him the most expensive member of his own sire's initial sales crop. And he possesses the brilliance to give his progeny every chance for major success on the racetrack. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, a stallion star in the making. Think about it.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Reporting Star's coming on. Obviously only a length. Reporting Star only a length and a half behind is desperate to make up the ground. And the others are running now. Lee, Tara of Texas and Kagan. And caving in is obviously challenged by Reporting Star. Obviously Reporting Star. And here comes Lee. And bulldozing through as well. Right between horses. Mondialiste. Mondialiste coming. Mondialiste has got up to win the Woodbine Mile. Second Lee. Then came obviously in Kagan.
Robert Geller with the call. That's Mondialiste winning the 2015 running of the Woodbine Mile. Back in action later today, trying to win the 2017 edition and punch his ticket to the Breeders' Cup Mile, virtue of that win in your in race coming up later today at Woodbine. And boy, what an afternoon of racing. What a weekend of racing north of the border. three win and you're in races scheduled for the next 2 days at Woodbine. And we're going to talk with John Siscos from Woodbine coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern to get you caught up on all the details, all the contenders. Should be a really good race today. World Approval, probably going to be the favorite in there, right?
I think. Could absolutely be the favorite in that race. You know, you've got the Euro Invaders, Dovey and Lancaster Bomber, who are going to draw some attention as well. But World Approval, very impressive in the four-star Dave. And even though that race was run over a boggy turf course due to a flash storm we had, that was one of the worst storms I've ever seen at Saratoga during a race card. Just showed up and just dumped a ton of water on everybody. But World Approval, very cool horse and on a bit of a roll right now.
Well, again, this afternoon you can watch and wager on that Grade 1 Rico Woodbine Mile. It's all live from Woodbine Racetrack. And how about this? Over $2 million in purses going to be up from grabs this weekend with that Woodbine Mile. You also have the Grade 1 Northern Dancer Turf, the Grade 2 Canadian, and then tomorrow the Grade 1 Natama and Grade 2 Summer Stakes. Of course, adding to the excitement, there will be a mandatory payout of the jackpot High Five at Woodbine this afternoon, which ends with race 13. The carryover is $1.4 million, and estimated $2 to $3 million will be bet into that later today as well. So that's going to be a big one. And then Woodbine and Naira have teamed up for a special Woodbine-Naira All-Turf Pick 5. How about this? It's pretty cool. It's a 20-cent bet with a low 15% takeout on three turf races from Woodbine, the Northern Dancer, the Grade 2 Canadian, and the Woodbine Mile. And then you have two turf races from Belmont, the Grade 2 Sands Point, and a turf allowance race, which is race 7. And 20-cent bet, a Naira Woodbine all-turf pick 5.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool wager, and you don't have to spend a lot of money to get into that. Also want to remind everybody that Woodbine Cares is sponsoring a charitable wager contest at charitablewager.com. Or hashtag CWager on Twitter. The winner gets a Teppan halter. It's a $25 pledge to the charity of whoever wins the very handicapping cool. contest, and that's very cool. So it's all the races at Woodbine, and check it out.
Yeah, very, very cool. A couple of items of note before we update you on the results of our poll question, which you can weigh in on at HRN. On Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network is our Facebook page. You can do it there, too. Want to wish all the best to jockeys Victor Carrasco and Jose Ferrer, who are recovering from that horrific spill at Delaware Park this past Thursday. Five jockeys going down in that spill on the turf course, and it was pretty ugly. It appears as if Victor Carrasco, according to his Twitter feed, is okay. He went through surgery. He is recovering now. Jose Ferrer took the worst of it, fractured 8 ribs, also suffered a collapsed lung in that injury, and I think there were some other complications involved too. So all of our best, our thoughts, our prayers to Victor Carrasco, Jose Ferrer, and let's hope that they're okay. And another reason why you should support our official charity here on HRN, the PDJF, you can go to pdjf.org. to learn more about helping support disabled riders. And thankfully, it doesn't appear that either of these riders will be disabled, but it's a very dangerous sport.
It is. And the cool thing about this, too, is all the horses were okay.
Yep.
Which is
awesome.
Very unusual when something like that happens. So it was unfortunate, but it couldn't have turned out better, it looks like. It looks like both jockeys are going to be okay eventually. And the horses are all right as well.
Our Bloom Racing HRRN partnership horse is back in action today. He's been on the shelf for a while, had a few physical issues, but he is now back in action at Belmont Park in race number 2. It is Budokan, and you want to make sure you take a look at him. We'll see if he can finally, for the first time, get to the winner's circle here. He's in a maiden 40 event on the turf, and I think, quite frankly, as the owner of the horse, I think that's kind of where he belongs, is on the grass when you look at his pedigree. So
maybe he should be smoking the grass.
It can't hurt. We'll try anything at this point. Is that legal?
No.
Can he do that?
It's not legal.
If the horse does it? I'm not talking about me doing it.
No, I'm talking about the horse. not legal.
Well, if he races in Colorado.
Well, I don't know about that either.
Send,
have to look at
Arapaho. He might be able to win at Arapaho.
I think he would be very tough there.
Yeah, by Hardspun out of grade one winning turf mare Vicari. So he has a stellar pedigree. And again, he had some physical things he had to get past. It looks like those are behind him now. And Jeff Bloom and his Bloom Racing just do an amazing job, and he has been great in keeping us up to date with everything that's happened with Budokan along the trail to recovery here. And let's see if he can finally put it all together later today. Again, that's race two at Belmont Park. All right, have to get to a top of the hour break, but before we do, our poll question, again, can you see yourself as a racehorse owner one day? And you have four choices. You can continue to vote all morning long. Absolutely, maybe. No way, and I'm already an owner. Which one do you think is the leader in the clubhouse at this point?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're right. Who's on first? 50% voting absolutely. I'm already an owner at 22%. No way at 15 and maybe at 13. So, yeah, and most people saying, you know what? Absolutely, I could do that.
Yeah.
And why not?
You should do it.
You should do it. It is, especially today with all the syndicates and the way you can get involved for a minimal investment and own a couple percent of a horse. Hey, it's the greatest thrill in the world, and it doesn't matter if you own 2%, 3%, or 100%. The thrill of winning is exactly the same.
No question.
Yep, no question about it. All right, we are going to get you set for hour number two. We kick it off with John Siscos from Woodbine here in just a couple of minutes. Darren Rogers will be with us from Churchill Downs and Mike Nyman from Gulfstream. That's all ahead right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Cloud Computing going for the upset. Classic Empire Dixon. Cloud Computing draws alongside. They come to the finish together. Noses apart. Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness.
Heart to heart at the 16th pole, a length from Bala Bali. Free rose. Farhan late on the scene. Bala Bali gathers in heart to heart. Farhan charging, but Bala Bali wins the Shoemaker.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Arrogate just not in the mood today. Arrogate will finish far, far back. And it's Accelerate and Victor Espinosa clear by 8-9 lengths here. Accelerate romps home in the San Diego.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum on HRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, live in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and happy to have you back with us. Don't forget, if you missed any portion of this show or any of our shows, all you have to do is head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out a podcast at your leisure. It's all there for you to listen to, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Breeders' Cup. How about that, JT? It's going to be here before we know it at Del Mar. 47 days, 14 hours, 57 minutes away from that Breeders' Cup World Championships, and several winning your in races on the docket this weekend.
Yeah, looking forward to the Breeders' Cup. I've wanted it to come to Del Mar since the inception of the Breeders' Cup. So been looking forward to that for a long, long time, and it's going to be a great event, a lot of top horses, fantastic racing.
Yeah, everybody talks about the weather in Del Mar and how beautiful it is and how perfect it is. The last time I was at Del Mar was a couple of years ago on opening weekend, and it rained like hell for 2 days. Poor cats and dogs. And I said, this is what Del Mar is all about. It was the first time in, 37 years they had to take races off the turf. So when I started working with our setup with Breeders' Cup, I said, look, I don't care what you do, right? I want to be in a good spot, but you have to put us under cover. We have to be somewhere, some way that we can get out of the rain. And they looked at me like I was crazy. I said, oh, trust me, I am the mush. And if I'm going to show up at Del Mar, there's a good shot we might get rain.
Well, I hope we don't, because Del Mar is not very nice when it rains. So
the Breeders' Cup turf run on the dirt.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No. Ugly. So let's not even think about it. I'm going to be there. I've only been to Del Mar twice when it rained. So, and I'm old. So we'll go with my luck
and
not yours.
We'll go with your luck, yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully no rain in the forecast north of the border at Woodbine, because their card today and tomorrow is absolutely sensational. We told you about the Grade 1 Rico Woodbine Mile, which takes place today. You have the Northern Dancer Turf. You have the Canadian. Tomorrow you've got the Natalma in the summer. You've got three winning your in stakes races on the program. And John Siskos is with us now to help talk about all those races live from Woodbine. John, not a whole lot going on up there this weekend, huh?
We're having a great time. But before we get into it, gentlemen, you're both scaring me. Or, well, at least, Mike, you're scaring me. Like this is my first trip to Del Mar in a couple of months for the Breeders' Cup. I'm hearing, what? There's rain in San Diego?
Yeah, bring a raincoat.
Jude, I think we're going to go with your way, okay?
I think so, yeah.
Bring an umbrella.
Hawaiian shirts and shorts and, okay. You know, forget about it. Don't.
I'm so looking forward to it, and it's exciting because we got three winning your ins this weekend, the mile you guys alluded to, and then Talma in the summer tomorrow, which have spawned good Breeders' Cup winners, too, in the past. So, we're really excited, and as you could sense, that the weather's terrific here for this weekend, so it's great.
Yeah, the turf course is world-class, which it's a weekend like this, John, where you get to show off that turf course to the world, and you have to be very proud to be able to do that.
Yeah, you hit it right there, Mike. We are proud of our turf course, and we're getting attention, and the fall time is perfect for us, and our Stayers race is in October. And the international, as you guys know, and this is what it is. This is a mile and a half around, and we're known for our turf racing. And I can't see how we can't have a huge betting weekend this weekend. And I think we'll have good crowds on track as well.
Yeah, it's a fantastic card, and Stuart Slagle and his team have done a great job getting international horses in, and lots of intrigue there. It's a beautiful thing, and you add the weather that I've seen on the social media. It's just going to be a fantastic day of racing,
right? And that's the appeal I feel that we have. We have this the European flair. I think it's a tad overstated about this sort of European style turf course, but you know it does appeal to European horses and European horse people, you know, so we've got five of them in the mile, you know, it's like, there must be something to this. And you know, with the quality of horse, Group One horses all around, I can't reiterate, if we're very proud of the race, we're very proud of the turf course, and I can't see us slowing down over the next few years with it.
John, let's start by talking about that Grade One Rico Woodbine Mile. It's race number 12. The post time is 6:34 Eastern. A field of 12, so a big field, very competitive field. Who's going to be the favorite? Will it be World Approval, or is it somebody else?
You know, I can't see how we can get past one of the Europeans. I think it's going to be Deauville. You know, he is the morning line favorite. You know, the betting money, a lot of the betting money will come from the United States, quite obviously. And you're talking about a well-known horse, well-known connections, and except maybe it's in my mind. You know, I don't like him as much as the Europeans. I don't like World Approval as much as the Europeans. And I think while the Four Star Dave was an excellent race, it was a mushy course. Again, only viewing it on tape, it was a mushy course. This is the opposite of that they're running over today. So if he's a favorite, that opens up value to me for some of the Europeans that might be in play for the race.
Deauville, would you say he's the best of the Europeans? We also have the 2005 winner, Mondialiste, in here. You have A-Rod. Who do you view as being the top European in this race?
I think Deauville is a really good horse. I'm not prepared to take 2-1 in him. I like Lancaster Bomber.
Yep.
You know, he's a 3-year-old, and 3-year-olds are not the most impeccable record in the race, but I like him. He I'm not a big weight guy when it comes to handicapping, but he's like those, the American Triple Crown, the U.S. Triple Crown, they're carrying 126 pounds. And in his last race, in a Group One, he was carrying 127 pounds. Now, I don't know what this boy can do, but if he's 112, 114, 115. I mean, in that couple of three lengths, that might be all the difference in here. Give me him at a double-digit mutual.
Yeah, he's an interesting horse. The three-year-old thing is kind of a negative, but you're right. He does get a huge weight break at 112, and I don't know if that jock can do it. I don't know too many jockeys from Europe that do 112, but that might be one of the reasons that he's on this horse to take advantage of that weight. Aidan O'Brien takes no prisoners. He knows how to run in these handicap races. So, yeah. So he's an interesting horse, even though he's eligible for non-winners at two.
Right.
Is he your pick in the race, John?
He would be. This is the way I'm playing the race. You know, if we get into the other races, I think there are singles in the other big races. So I'm spreading in here and going maybe five or six deep in the mile in my horizontals, and it includes all the Euros.
All right, well, we'll see if John Siskos is right later this afternoon. The Grade 1 Rico Woodbine Mile is race number 12. John, I know we're kind of working backwards here because we started with the main event, so to speak, but race number 10 is the Grade 1 Northern Dancer Turf. You have race number 8, which is the other greatest stake, the Grade 2 Canadian. Let's focus on that 10th race, the Northern Dancer Turf. You mentioned some singles. Is there a single in this race?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Hawkbill looks like a dead right single. You know, he just, there's too much class there. There's too much good form there. You know, German Grade Ones aren't American or UK Grade Ones, but they're still good races. And he was right there in that race. And the field comparatively class wise. Is a cut below what anything Hawkbill is running. So to me, he's going to be something like 4-5, and I'm going to take it and just hope that that's a free bingo square for in the horizontals.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that way. He looks like the class by 31 lengths in that race, but I can't help but think Messi's going to run pretty good.
Right.
I'm kind of looking at maybe doubling there just to be a little safer. I don't know. At the 20-cent increment, you can do a lot of things.
Right. And you know what, Jude? You'd get paid, right? Let's say Messi does win it. He is, to me, the only other one. Noble Thought is a really good runner around here, and he's had some – those races are better than they look that he's had, but he's the only other likely winner, and that's So if you do double up and Messi does win, I think you get paid if you hit the other pieces.
Well, maybe one advantage there or a feather in Messi's cap that Hawkbill doesn't have is that Messi is 1-for-1 over the Woodbine Turf. You remember last year he won the Grade 2 Sky Classic, Hawkbill making his Woodbine debut. John, you see races there all the time. Is there an advantage to having a race or even a win over that turf course?
Yeah. Yeah, this is how I'd say it. Like, Graham Motion comes up here all the time. He knows that turf course and has stressed to his jockeys, this is what you do, and that's you wait and wait and wait a little bit longer. So I don't think it's the horse necessarily. I think it's the jock that has to know exactly when to move. And Charles Appleby has been here before. O'Donohue has been here before. So I think they get the sense that you do have to wait before you make that winning move. And going back to that Sky Classic you referenced, gentlemen, that was a tour de force, too. That was an excellent race. So I think you've convinced me here, Jude. I'm gonna use Messi as well.
No more singles for John Siskos.
That's right.
John, how about the Grade 2 Canadian? Seven horses set to go in there. It's race number 8, mile and an eighth on the turf, and a post time of 4:29 Eastern.
Yeah, you mean that the Canadian is a popular race for us. It's our filly and mare equivalent. You know, I can't get past Kedura. I think a lot of people are going to say that too. And you know, Graham Motion, again to stress, he's been here many times before, shipped up many times before. This horse is ready. He's going to be, she's going to be a very low number in the. She'll be odds on. I think. Unless. He have, as you have in the Northern Dancer, convinced me of somebody else. I'm going to single her and take my chances elsewhere.
I'm going to cost you more money here.
Oh, no.
You got to use your man Mike Doyle in Grizzle, right?
Yeah.
Grizzle, you know, Mike Doyle told us, I got a surprise for Chad when we were up there, and I thought that was a great line. And his filly Grizzle actually looked like she might win it at the eighth pole. She ran a huge race at 39-1. I know she's a three-year-old running against older again, but I think that jock can do the weight, huh? Is it David Moran?
Yeah, Moran, yeah.
Yeah, he can. He's a little little tiny guy. And and I think Grizzle might have a chance of winning. I agree with you. Kidora looks really good, but again, if you get somebody other than her, you're going to get paid. So
yeah, if you're trying to get me to other horses, she is absolutely not impossible. And again, a good little horse. That Ontario Colleen, where she was second in the Group Three, Enstone's a good horse, and she did win the Group Three in May. So yeah, I mean, she's not impossible. I'm gonna take a stand here in this race, though, and maybe I'll add Messi in the Northern Dancer, and then we'll go for it from there.
All right, 50%'s not bad.
That's not too bad.
John Sisco's with us from Woodbine here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You mentioned, John, the big weekend. We've talked about it throughout the program here today. It continues tomorrow with the Grade 1 Natama and the Grade 2 Summer Stakes. But what a weekend at Woodbine, and a couple of winning your ends.
Yeah, you know, those two races are higher profile in the racing world these days. You know, they spawn Breeders' Cup winners, you know, and that's another thing we're proud of. And, you know, you'll see come Breeders' Cup time, guys, that when you'll look back and see one of the favorites for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf is a horse that came out of the summer, or the favorite for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Fillies came out of the Natalma. And geez, that's a proud moment for us. And you know, there is absolutely a chance that a horse like Wonder Godot ends up running so well that she ends up being the favorite in the Juvenile Fillies Turf.
Yeah, it could be a really good race and play into that Juvenile Fillies Turf, no doubt about it.
Yep.
And you know, of course, all the wagering action coming up this weekend. We talked about this earlier on the program too, John. That Naira Woodbine 20-cent bet all turf pick five, which takes place later today.
You know, it's we're just trying stuff, guys. You know, we've got a good partnership with Naira. We're trying to be innovative. We're trying to do stuff here. Let's see what we can do. And we've cracked a wonderful relationship with Naira on this bet. And you know what? There's our three big races. Their Sands Point looks like a pretty good race. This Turf Allowance race looks pretty good. Let's just go for it and see if it can catch fire. So I think that's the genesis of this wager. Let's just try something different, and not something we've often done with other tracks, but we're trying it here. And I'm going to play it, so I think other core players are going to play it as well.
How hard was it to talk Naira into a 20-cent wager?
You know, it's one of our things, Jude. Right? We're a 20 cent track. Right? We want the options. We want the lots of options out there for the players. So I think if it's hard for us to go to a $1 base bet on stuff like this when we've always been 20 cents. And if there are players out there, it's not their cup of tea that they don't want the 20 cent. Fine, we absolutely understand that. But we're trying to get a lot of players playing. And, you know, like, for example, your point about Messi, you know, it's going to be easier to throw in Messi at 20 cent times XXXX rather than $1 times XXX. So, you know, I mean, this is our thing. And I think for them to jump on board with us, I think speaks volumes.
John Siskos, Director of Communications with Woodbine Entertainment. He's with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and like all of our guests, will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. John, as always, really appreciate the time and can't thank you enough for being here, and we'll look forward to catching up with you down the road at Breeders' Cup. Again, bring that umbrella. Don't leave it home.
Don't scare me. Please, no. Guys, really enjoyed it. Chat soon.
Thanks, bud. John Siskos on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Great guy. Really fun interview, too. You talk about somebody who's on top of things. Of course, now you've cost him more money.
Yeah, it's all right. He can afford it. He's got a good job at Woodbine. They pay well up there. I'm not worried about extra 20-cent bet for him. It's not going to hurt him. And he might even help him. He might win.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a great weekend of racing, and again, it's all part of this spectacular weekend, and it includes winning your in races just about an hour west of us at Churchill Downs, and the Pocahontas and the Iroquois coming up there this afternoon. Darren Rogers from Churchill will be with us after this next commercial break. But right now,
It is time for your Blood Horse news update and the look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Yeah, well, standardbred quarter horse executives support new Kentucky tracks. That's right, executives with the Standardbred and Quarter Horse Racing Associations in Kentucky both voiced strong support for a proposal by Keeneland and Churchill Downs to partner on two new racetracks. Gabe Pruitt, executive secretary for the Kentucky Harness Horsemen's Association, said he was surprised by the September 15th announcement about a new harness track to be built near Oak Grove in Christian County because he wasn't aware a new facility was being contemplated, but added quickly that it's needed. We'll see if that comes to fruition. And that, along with other headlines, are available for you at BloodHorse.com. Remember, Blood Horse Magazine has been covering thoroughbred racing and breeding for more than 100 years, and it's the industry's only weekly magazine. If you want to follow the sport, the industry, well, there's no better way than Blood Horse Magazine. And how about this? A special offer for only our HRN listeners. You get 10 issues of Blood Horse Magazine and tablet for just $10. That's right, a buck an issue. Can't beat it. Go to bloodhorse.com/HRRN and get those 10 issues for only $10. What do you think? Does it happen? Quarter horse racing? Quarter horse track?
Not really. Not according to the Kentucky Racing Commission, who kind of slapped it down yesterday.
Quickly.
Said we're not. Well, you know, there's lots of things involved that look like maybe a potential poaching of Kentucky Downs business. And there's a lot of things involved. It's very political. It's not exactly as it seems. You know,
I'm glad you brought up Kentucky Downs. Congratulations to Corey Johnson, his son CJ, the entire team. What a meet. And this comes on the heels of a record meet last year. They do it again this year. It gets even better.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're doing a fine job. So it was like, well, what's your reward for doing a fine job? People are going to try to take your business. Yeah. So,
well, when you're on top of the mountain.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's kind of a monopoly thing. I don't know if the whole thing really could even work, but the Kentucky Racing Commission said we're not giving any licenses to new tracks. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here, how much Keeneland and Churchill press the issue, if they even can press the issue. I don't know.
Yeah, be interesting to see how this develops, and we'll keep you up to date here on HRRN. All right, going to get to another break. We'll come back. We'll talk about those big stakes races at Churchill with Darren Rogers. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 23rd for the 9th annual Race for the Ribbon. Another stellar card in store. 7 stakes races worth over $600,000 and headlined by the Grade 3 $300,000 Charlestown Oaks. And proceeds from the evening will go towards the fight against breast cancer. The action kicks off with a special first post time of 5 p.m. Eastern. It's the Race for the Ribbon and the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Bakari Bloodstock is consistently among the top consigners at major sales. Their recent success includes Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Oaks winner Salty and a $1.2 million session topper at last year's Keeneland September sale. Throughout the next several sessions of the Keeneland sale, Bakari Bloodstock will be offering yearlings by top stallions Ghost Sapper, Spice Town, Street Sense, Bodemeister, Bernardini, Malibu Moon, and more. Visit the Bakari Bloodstock consignment in Barn 11 on Saturday and Barn 39 on Monday at the Keeneland September sale.
Play the Maryland Jockey Club at Laurel Park. Today, Laurel celebrates the Fall Festival of Racing featuring the Grade 3 to Francis Dash, presented by ExpressBet, and six stakes races on the turf. Wager on the Pick 5 and Super High 5, or take your chance at a life-changing score by playing the popular Rainbow 6. It's all at Laurel Park, racing Friday through Sunday in September with first post at 1:10 p.m. For more information, visit laurelpark.com. That's laurelpark.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And Wondergado's got a little bit more than the others. In fact, Wondergado's drawing off in the Natalma prep.
Wondergado stormed to victory in an allowance race at Woodbine on August 26th and is now being pointed for Sunday's Grade 1 Natalma. That victory makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro sired one of the greats in Rachel Alexandra, who was Horse of the Year at 3 and the best 3-year-old filly since the 1970s. Medaglia d'Oro is currently the leading sire in North America by 2017 Grade 1 winners with 5, and a win by Wondergado in the Grade 1 Natalma would give him number 6, the most by any stallion in 1 year since Stormcat in 1999. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They turn for home now. Sunny Skies is off the turn in front. Wacky Patriot right alongside in second. Upset Brewing trying to close down the center of the track. Amber's Patriot in behind. Red Dread down toward the rail. 1 furlong to go. Sunny Skies is still in front. In front a length and a half. Final try from Upset Brewing on the outside with 100 yards left. Sunny Skies still the leader. Upset Brewing still second. And Sunny Skies the winner. A length and a half on the wire. Upset Brewing second, Wacky Patriot and Red Dread.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Baron and Pontiff, Mike Pennant, Jude Feld, with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, edging ever closer to the Breeders' Cup World Championships. In case you're just joining us, well, just 47 days, 14 hours, and now 33 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup, and we will be there as your exclusive radio home for the 11th consecutive year. It's been a wonderful partnership, and we can't thank the folks at Breeders' Cup enough, and we can't thank all of our listeners for tuning in and all of our sponsors for making that coverage possible. All the coverage again this year is presented by visitbarbados.org. You can see a complete schedule on our website, horseracingradio.net. Jude, Sunny Skies, a winner of the debutante at Churchill back on June 30th, and has the look of a really, really good horse.
Yeah, what a fantastic filly she is, and daughter of Kentucky Derby winner Animal Kingdom. Who's really doing well as a freshman sire this year. But, you know, nice filly, tough race today. The Pocahontas is a very wide open race. Lots of good fillies, a lot of horses stretching out for the first time. Question marks abound. We talked about Kelly's Humor earlier in the show. She's very talented as well. So, shapes up to be a really cool race.
Yeah, and she could give trainer Ken McPeak yet another victory in the Pocahontas, because he's had a lot of success in that race, and he's kind of owned the race in recent years, and it might be another win for Ken McPeak if Sunny Skies can get to the winner's circle later today and punch her ticket to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Well, nobody knows more about the racing at Churchill than our good friend Darren Rogers, who is with us now here on HRRN. Darren, welcome.
Good morning, Jude. Good morning, Mike.
Good How's morning. It going?
It's going great. A beautiful day here in the Ville. Very exciting with the crew from Game Day and ESPN in town for the big matchup from between number 3 ranked Clemson and number 14 ranked Louisville. And I can tell you, there'll be a sea of orange with those Clemson fans at Churchill Downs. They plan to have their official pregame tailgate in the plaza. So it should be an exciting day for our Saturday card. That's absolutely tremendous. 11 race program, including the four stakes that conclude with that Pocahontas, as you were talking about.
I was out at Carson's restaurant here in Lexington Thursday night for Dine Out for Life, and I walked in and there was just orange everywhere, and I said, what is it, Ben Jones Day here at Carson's? And everybody from Clemson was in there. I don't know what they were doing in Lexington, but I hope they were buying horses at the sale.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah, I tell you what, they come to town, and their signature, when you know, they travel well to their different football games, and they have $2 bills. And they draw a paw print on the $2 bills, so they leave their mark and let the town know this is how much money we're spending in your town. So there's no better place than a racetrack. You know, hey, just give us a lot of $2 to win, $2 to place, and $2 to show bets all day long.
That's one of the great things about being here in Central Kentucky with racetracks like Churchill, like Keeneland. We see the same thing here in October with Keeneland, where UK will play. Yep. A night game, and everybody will go to Keeneland during the day, and the fans come in from out of state. It's really cool, and it's a great way, quite frankly, to expose people to our sport that may not otherwise have the opportunity.
That's exactly the way we look at it. You know, our group sales team worked hard with the Clemson Alumni Association to set up an official event. And, you know, anytime you can expose people, you know, they're based down in South Carolina. They're not going to see a whole lot of horse racing down there. But when they have a chance to see, you know, the historic home of the Kentucky Derby and have a good time out here, live racing, some, you know, drinking a beer, making a few bets, and then going over the game, that's a great thing. It's a win-win.
Well, let's talk about the big races this afternoon, Darren. Yeah. We had Dale Romans on earlier looking to eclipse Bill Mott as the all-time leading trainer. He has a horse that looks pretty tough in that Iroquois Stakes. Tell me a little bit about those races.
Yeah, the Iroquois, of course, kicks off the road to the Kentucky Derby, the first scoring race. So the winner will receive 10 points. And you're speaking of Hollywood Star,
yep.
And he's the horse I really like. Boy, the Albaws are absolutely loaded. We called it the other day, it's the Albaw Arsenal with Dak Attack, Free Drop Billy, and Hollywood Star. And this is a great chance to see this horse go two turns. He'll be, you know, he was a good second last time out to Copper Bullet. Copper Bullet's well intended. He just looks to be a very nice horse. But it's not going to be easy. Ten City, you know, he's a runaway in Hyde Colt, and that's the question I have. In fact, I'd love to bounce about you guys. You know, last time out, he finished behind Dak Attack in his first attempt, stretching out a little bit, going 7 furlongs, and he ran third. I'm just not certain how much further 10 City is going to want to go. Although, you know, Kenny McPeak has stressed to us that, you know, there's a lot of stamina on the bottom side. You have, you know, it's a rock hard 10 mare on the bottom. So this will be a good test to see if he goes two turns. But, if, I mean, 10 City was, as you know, spectacular, the most eye-catching winner during the Keeneland meet. He was a very impressive winner of our Bashford Manor at the end of the spring meet. Looking forward to see how he goes around two turns.
Yeah, Kenny McPeak, we interviewed him a couple months ago, and he told us to watch out for 10 City, that he was his Derby horse, and he had tremendous confidence in him. So he's been prepping for the Kentucky Derby for a long time. And today's, I think you're right, the acid test to see if he can. He doesn't need to win necessarily, but it'd be nice if he negotiated the distance and finished well. You know, I think he's on a long-term schedule, but very talented horse.
Jay, you're a former trainer, right? Are you buying the Ken McPeak argument that he gets a lot of stamina from the dam side, and that's enough to carry him these longer distances?
It's possible. I mean, I don't.
Can
I don't
it make
think,
that much of a difference?
Oh yeah. Well, the bottom side is just as important as the top side, I think, and sometimes more so. And if you take a distance mare and you breed to a speed horse, you get a horse that has speed and can go a classic distance. And I haven't, you know, done the research on his pedigree or anything, but I can tell you if that's the way he's bred, he's got as good a shot as anybody.
So is it those two and everybody else in the Iroquois, Darren?
Well, I will tell you that we host a radio show up here in Louisville on ESPN 680, one of your affiliates,
yep,
on Friday nights. And we had Ben Huffman, our director of racing, on last night. And he's steering his attention Of course, he can't wager, but he says he can pick him. Number nine, the tabulator for Larry Rivelli, who, of course, is based in Chicago. The horse won the Prairie Gold Cup Juvenile, which was only a six furlong race in Iowa. But the horse, you know, he won by 2 1/4 lengths, but he beat Mr. Jägermeister. Now, those of you that don't know Mr. Jägermeister, he's a Minnesota bred who came back and won by 15 1/4 lengths. In fact, he's running today, I believe, up at Canterbury against a filly. They have an interesting race up there. And these two Minnesota breds, very interesting at this stage of the two-year-old season to keep an eye on. You know, good horses can come from anywhere. And Ben says, give a long look to this horse for Larry Rivelli, the tabulator. He's a dialed-in colt out of a Giants Causeway mare, and he does receive Lasix for the first time. He's 6-1 on the morning line.
Great name for a horse, Mr. Jägermeister. Some of us know Mr. Jägermeister all too well.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do, Mike.
Well, back to the tabulator. He blew out in 34-4, so that was pretty eye-catching, too. I think Ben might be onto something there.
Yeah, and I was always, you know, Mo Diddley, you know, he's 10-1. He's on the outside, gets Corey Lannery for Mark Cassie. This is a colt I really liked when he broke his maiden, and you knew he wanted to go further. He's an Uncle Mo colt out of a Vindication mare. He was too close to a very hot pace at Saratoga. You cannot go 44-3. So when you see him backing up, finishing, you know, 7th, beating 11th lengths, I'm interested to see how this colt does. I don't know if I can bet on him today, but he's one I want to watch because I know they thought very highly of him.
Well, we told you that the Breeders' Cup was edging closer, now just 47 days away. Hey, why not kick it off now? 231 days, 9 hours, 14 minutes, and 6 seconds away from the Run for the Roses on May 5th, 2018. Maybe the Derby winner is going postward in the Iroquois later today at Churchill Downs. Darren, how
hey, you remember last year's? You remember last year's race?
Yeah, was that McCracken?
We had the coming out party for Not This Time.
Not This Time.
That's
right.
8 1/4 lengths.
That's right.
And then you remember who was second? Looking at Lee, and he ran second in the Derby. So you're right. You never know. That's what I love about these Road to the Kentucky Derby races. You never know when horse racing's next bright star might emerge.
What was McCracken? Kentucky Jockey Club? Is that the race he won over there?
Kentucky Jockey
Club.
Yeah, he ran in our street sense of the Kentucky Jockey Club.
Yep.
I wish you had a future bet for trainers because I just load up on Dale Romans.
He is loaded right now.
I know. I mean, he told us this morning he's got two or three others that haven't even run yet that he thinks are good, right?
Yep, and as Dale likes to say, every two-year-old in his barn is a Derby horse until they prove that they're not.
That's right.
Well, well said.
Is that well said? I love it.
That's perfect. All right, how about the Pocahontas, Darren? How'd you see that one?
This is an interesting race. You were talking about Sunny Skies. I like Sunny Skies. She's a nice filly. Snowfire's getting a lot of buzz, but I'm not sure she had the greatest of summers up at Saratoga. So, you know, she's a Tappet filly out of Upper Line. She was a very nice mare. And, you know, she ran fourth last time out in the Schuylerville. But I'm not sold on her necessarily, but I'm hearing a lot of buzz on that filly. Take Charge Paula for Kelly Breen invading from the East Coast. Very interesting to me. It's, you know, Take Charge Indy is the sire out of A Song and a Prayer, Mare Perfect Paula. And we, you know, could be showing some good speed. She's only raced 5 1/2 furlongs. I know Kelly was looking to get this horse a two-turn experience. He believes the horse will be better at two turns. That's interesting to me, and I like the morning line odds at 6-1. If we can get somewhere around there, I might invest on Take Charge Paula in the Pocahontas. And by the way, you mentioned, you know, not only are these scoring races for the Derby and Oaks, but they're also Breeders' Cup winning your in races. They'll get $60,000 of their entry fees paid by the Breeders' Cup, along with a travel stipend. So these are two key races that are well intended. As you can see, they've drawn full fields, 10 in the Iroquois, and then we have the completely full field of 12 in the Pocahontas. and it's part of the end of day late pick four at Churchill Downs, an all stakes late pick four that also includes the Locust Grove and Open Mind.
Yeah, it's a fantastic card you guys put together today. Really looking forward to it.
Did you look at the opener? They had so many horses, they've been able to split all kinds of maiden races. This is almost a mini Stars of Tomorrow card with all the two-year-old races we have today. But in this first race, where we see two-year-olds going a mile, notice the breeding on the two-horse. Meistermind, he's a Bodemeister colt out of Mining My Own. That makes him a half to Mind That Bird and Dullahan. So, I mean, there's some impeccably bred horses. This is that time of year where we get, if you can't tell, I'm excited. I love seeing these two-year-olds emerge. Who's going to be the next big star? And this is a card that there's a lot of enticing bets and prospects today at Churchill.
Yeah, no doubt. And it doesn't have to be the Iroquois that produces the Kentucky Derby winner. The Derby winner might be running today in one of those maiden races, and that's what makes it so exciting. Dale Romans told us earlier that his horse, Tis Mischief, probably the best opportunity for him to get another victory on the card. He's in race number one. And outside of Hollywood Star, he said Tis Mischief might be the one. So, yeah, a lot of great things to look forward to.
It's so perfect for Dale. I mean, you know, we're making a big deal out of this. And you know why? This is a record that Bill Mott has held for 31 years.
Wow.
Before that, you know, Bill, it was June 8th of 1986 when Bill Mott passed the great Henry Forrest to become Churchill Downs' all-time leading trainer. That was with 272 wins. Now Mott's at 701. Dale is born and bred Louisville. I mean, his father was in Barn 4. He remembers his mother taking him over to Barn 4. He doesn't remember, but his mother says, you know, started bringing him over there when he was about 9 months old. I mean, he literally grew up in the shadows of those twin spires. And so for a Louisville native to be on the verge of getting this mark of becoming Churchill Downs' all-time leading trainer. It's not only a special milestone, but it's really, really special to Dale Romans, and we couldn't be more happy for him.
Yeah, Darren Rogers, like all of our guests who appear on this program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Make sure you wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Darren,
hey,
donate
my gift to have a contest with one of your callers or listeners out there. Let them enjoy Embrace the Race.
All right, we can do that.
That's cool.
However you want to do it, my friend, I don't care.
All right.
Either way, we'll, if not, send it to me and we'll donate and have some fun with it.
All right, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. We'll do that, and appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for taking the time. Enjoy the weekend, and I guess go Cards, right?
Go Cards, and let's hit the late pick four, though. I'll really enjoy the game if we can hit that late pick four. Okay?
Sounds good to me.
Priorities, friends.
Thanks, Darren. Darren Rogers, Churchill Downs, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Going to get to a quick break when we come back. Mike Nyman is in the on-deck circle. He's going to tell you about Gulfstream Park and how they're recovering from Hurricane Irma and some of the things they're doing to help the community down there. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Claiborne Farms Flatter is carrying the flag for AP Indy, rewarding breeders in the sales ring and on the track. Among the nation's leading sires by Grade 1 stakes horses in 2016, this year's stars include Terrace, Upstart, Kobe's Back, Amy's Flatter, and most recently, Paola Queen, winner of the Grade 1 test stakes at Saratoga. Success on the track has led to big numbers in the auction ring as well, with yearlings this year selling up to $425,000. Flatter at Claiborne Farms.
Zest Fabrication is Kentucky's only true fabrication shop and portable welding business. Family-owned and operated, Vest Fabrication has built a reputation of success in several industries, including farm and equine. Working with many of Kentucky's most prestigious farms, Vest Fabrication provides top-quality equine equipment, including paddock gates, stall yoke, Dutch doors, and entrance gates, and will even repair your current equipment. Visit VestFab.com to view samples and schedule your free estimate today.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
Adina Springs Stallion Point of Entry. A five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dinah Former's global legacy. The sire of two-year-old stakes winner Glamination in his first crop, along with the impressive filly Moonlight Rain, who defeated males in her debut. On the racetrack, Point of Entry was the first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer. And here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
And they're coming down to the finish. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
From a remarkable female family, Point of Entry's first 4 dams are Grade 1 winners and or Grade 1 producers. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario.
Hi, this is Jockey John Cork.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're into the stretch. Sassy Little Lila, Balor Rocks, World Approval. Time Test on the outside and Disco Partner trying to come on too. World Approval takes the lead a furlong out. It is World Approval in front. Balor Rocks, Time Test on the outside. Now moving up into second, but World Approval's got it. World Approval in the 4-star Dave. Winning it by 3 lengths. And then it was Time Test followed by Balor Rocks. And Disco Partner, the final time was 1 minute 37.65 seconds.
Larry Colmus with the call, World Approval, winning the 4-star Dave at Saratoga. That was a race you heard right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. World Approval going to the post later today in the Grade 1 Rico Woodbine Mile, north of the border at Woodbine. Figures to be a good race, and World Approval hoping to pair up back-to-back Grade 1 victories. Well, a lot further south, you're going to find Gulfstream Park, which returns to action today following the devastation of Hurricane Irma, and it appears as if Gulfstream may have dodged a bullet here in terms of the worst of it, where everybody in the Keys really took the brunt of that horrific storm, but everybody throughout Florida trying to get back to normalcy, and Gulfstream helping people do that later today. Mike Nyman is the director of marketing at Gulfstream. He's with us now on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, good morning. What can you tell us about Gulfstream and the recovery efforts?
Well, we're going to be back and running today. Obviously, it was a rough week. Everybody followed the storm and saw what was going on. We lucked out a little bit on this side of the state that the actual eye of the storm, as people have seen, really destroyed the Keys and a lot of damage on the southwest side of Florida, Naples and Fort Myers, those areas over there. People here still are, there's still a few hundred thousand people in South Florida here in this area that don't have power. So, you know, it takes time till everything's up and running. Fortunately, you know, we got the gas stations going and the supermarkets are open, and seems like the employees, most of them here, made it through it pretty well. And the property, you know, took a little bit of a little hit. We had some little bit of damage, but they had a crew here that stayed here during the entire storm, amazing, and got the backup generators running and then got the power on. I believe Tuesday morning here at Gulfstream, we got the whole facility cleaned up and ready to go. And we were tasked to have everything ready for today, and we've been able to do that. So we'll kick it off today at 12:15 with a 13-race card. You got 7 turf races on there. All the odd races today are turf races, and the even races are on the dirt. We have a turf race stake, $100,000, the Miss Gracie going as the 11th today, and a $50,000 starter stake, a mile on the dirt, and a 12th. So we're back, fortunately, and we're thinking of all our other friends and neighbors in parts of Florida that really took a beating. Our employees here yesterday put together a lot of supplies and things that we put on a boat to go down to Key West, because whether people realize it, you can't drive down that far now. It's only, you can go about, I think, about 50 or 60 miles down into the Keys. So we hooked in with somebody that had a running some boats down today to the Keys, and we filled them up with all kinds of supplies and things from our employees here. So a lot of us had a lot of extra stuff left over from the storm, so we want to pass that on and take care of the people that really had devastation.
Yeah, and Mike, I think it's important to let people know how diligent Gulfstream Park was about looking out for not just the human connections that were in the area and surrounding the racetrack, but also the equines and everything that they tried to do in assisting with some of those efforts to get the horses out of Gulfstream into safer areas.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We shipped a lot of horses out of here. I think they shipped about 600 or 700 horses out. Some went to our training center in Palmettos. I know some people shipped up to Ocala. For the new barns that people have noticed that we have built here, which were built in the last 5 years, people look at it and they'll say, oh, that looks like it doesn't look like much. But when it was built, they told us that it would stand winds of 170 miles an hour. And there were horses that stayed in those barns and they had no issues at all. Everything was perfectly fine. And like I said, we had a dedicated staff of people here, especially on the backside, that, stayed here through the entire storm, basically putting their life, at risk, because you really don't know what's going to happen. The thing is with these storms that really makes it crazy when you're kind of in it is these tornado warnings that just come one after the other. And there was a lot of tornadoes that came through. It's not like the ones you'll typically maybe see up your way that just take out major areas. These are ones that kind of come down quick and they're gone fast. But wherever they hit, they really can do extensive damage. So there was a lot of that around, and it was just, catch can and hit or miss whether I'm going to catch one of those. But we think one actually came through here at Gulfstream, because there was some damage in a couple of areas that anything around it was fine, and just there everything was kind of knocked down. So this is kind of what you deal with in these type of storms, and just glad it's over.
Yeah, it was so disconcerting for a lot of people that lived there, and I of course have a lot of friends in that area, and was very concerned about them. But Gulfstream always seems to come through with flying colors in these instances. When people need something, you guys are always right there. And a lot of people were concerned about the horses on social media and stuff, but I knew you were going to do everything in your power to make sure that the horses were well taken care of.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I know there was some concern out there. I saw some of that as well. And I can assure everybody that this place does everything. As a matter of fact, the top managers here, Tim Ritvo, as everybody's familiar with, the president of Gulfstream and the CEO of the Stronach Group, P.J. Campo, our general manager, and Billy Badgett, all stayed here the entire storm. They were here at Gulfstream with some crew, with some security, and some other staff here. So they did everything to make sure that everything was going to be right here and taken care of. And the other thing is, one of the things that's really interesting, that things that you don't really touch in your life, is, but our parking lot, our south parking lot, which is huge, was a staging area for Florida Power and Light. And they had about, 700-800 trucks there and tents and everything. And just to watch what they were doing and how organized and, bringing, they'd go out and you'd see caravans, and one of the trucks would be, would be full of these power poles. And, they just go out to do this work, and they've done a yeoman's job. And it's just nice to see that our facility was, part of that and helping out in the recovery. We got to meet a lot of the FPNL workers here that, when their time off, they were eating in our backside kitchen. Our backside kitchen was probably one of the most amazing things going on here, because they never seemed to run out of food, and there was no deliveries, and they were able to feed everybody there three meals a day, plus people from the Florida Power and Light. So it's just the whole thing just really comes together. It's just nice to see, you know, where there's just been so much divisiveness in this country and everything else, that at least times like this, people just, everybody just seems to get together, and just everybody's concerned about their fellow neighbor, and that's the way things should be.
Yeah, it is the way.
It's a shame that it has to be a disaster like this for that to happen, but at least that's the good part of it.
Yeah, and a very positive ending to what could have been an absolutely horrific outcome there at Gulfstream Park. Mike, about a minute or so left here before we have to get to our final commercial break and wrap up the show, but I know people now are going to start to turn their attention toward your championship meet, which begins in early December. Kind of give us a quick overview of what people can expect.
Okay, but I want to just mention real fast that this meet now, we're adding two Wednesdays the rest of the month, so we'll be running Wednesday through Sunday, and we'll be closing on October 1st, or Sunday, rather than the Saturday of September 30th. So we've added three racing days, and then, of course, we go to GP West on the 4th. The championship meet was announced this week. It's another great program that we're putting on. You can go on our website, on our racing page, and you can click the championship meet schedule. You can see all the big race days, including, of course, featuring the Pegasus this year at $15 million, the Florida Derby, Fountain of Youth, you know, Holy Bull, all the big days that you typically see at Gulfstream. Plus, we've added the Caribbean Classic, which will be the second week. That's going to be a really unique type of race, and I think the horse fans are going to really enjoy this. I'm starting to get familiar with it, with the horses that are coming up, and I'm working on all kinds of different things to be able to the public can understand the charts and things that are coming of these horses that are coming from these other countries. So it'll make it a better experience and give you more information, you know, at your fingertips on the day, so you can be a sharper handicapper. And we kick it off on December 2nd, and then we go to March 30th to the Florida Derby, and it's just going to be another great championship meet. Looking forward to having you guys down here again.
Can't wait to get back there. He's Mike Nyman. He's the best at Gulfstream Park. Mike, appreciate it, bud, and glad you're safe.
Thanks a lot. Take care, guys.
All right. We're going to be back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Want to enjoy an exciting night of horse racing overlooking beautiful downtown Lexington? Watch as Kentucky's top standardbreds compete in the Kentucky Sire Stakes held at the historic Red Mile. The Kentucky Sire Stakes is a month-long culmination of Kentucky's leading 2- and 3-year-olds competing at the Red Mile to be crowned Kentucky's best trotter and pacer. Sponsored by the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Kentucky Sire Stakes Finals, Sunday, September 17th, first post, 7 p.m. For more information, visit www.khrc.ky.gov.
Millridge, raising and selling racehorses. Millridge offers a quality consignment of athletes for the Keeneland September sale by leading stallions Warfront, Pioneer of the Nile, Bernardini, Union Rags, Candy Ride, More Than Ready, Spitestown, and more. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 34 Grade 1 winners, including 8 Breeders' Cup winners, with multiple Grade 1 winner Oscar Performance, the latest, and Sunset Ridge, who won her 4th straight at Saratoga in the Fleet Indian Stakes. Millridge invites you to view their Keeneland consignment in Barn 43 and look forward to sharing these future Grade 1 winners.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your?
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power.
Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Passion.
It was Creator and Destined right on the wire, and Irad Ortiz
raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
It is Tappret and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Tappret, North America's leading sire in 2014, 2015, and 2016. Tappet has sired 23 Grade 1 winners, 20 yearlings to bring $1 million or more at auction, and earners of more than $116 million on the racetrack. Tappet's newest Grade 1 winner, Dream Dancing, stormed home to take the Del Mar Oaks. Other Grade 1 winners include Frosted and Ring Weekend, Phillies Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, and Time in Motion, and the winners of three of the past four Belmont Stakes, Tonalist, Creator, and Tappet. Look for Tappet yearlings at the upcoming sales. Tappet. Standing at Gainesway.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
For those of you looking for some Spanish horse racing talk, head on over to HRRNandEspanol.com. Tune in to Hablando de Abismo, which begins 10 o'clock Eastern. That's just about 2 minutes away. Head on over there now and listen to Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma. HRNandEspanol.com. Our thanks to all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Stuart Morris, Dale Romans, John Siscos, Darren Rogers, and Mike Nyman. It was a busy show. Covered an awful lot of ground here today, JT.
Yeah, it was a really fun show to do, and glad everybody in Florida is getting back on their feet.
Yeah, thanks for being with us here this morning on the Equine Forum. We're, of course, back next week. Tune in to all of our programming throughout the week as well. Head over to horseracingradio.net to see a complete schedule. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. Until next time, hey, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.